Can you imagine the Almighty, Sovereign God informing people they be holy as He is holy? To be holy is in many ways to be balanced, integrated, complete, and upright. God is no doubt holy. But could Creator really suggest that created beings be similar? Very often, we settle for being only as upright as is necessary to navigate the world. But this standard, friends, is always short and flawed. We should want to recognize in God's message the beautiful invitation this is to join Him in a state of holiness. But how lofty an expectation! How do we even begin to approach this level of holiness? If we imagine that God has invited us to do something and be someone beyond our capacity, we will most definitely worship very ordinary, temporal, and cultural gods, and there are many. Friends, our God is not cruel, but is the supreme enabler. God asks nothing of humankind without first equipping us. Children in family life are the first beneficiaries of their parents' resources. And so too, children of God are offered free and unlimited access to our Father in heaven and all the resources that that encompasses. The sooner we would squelch any bent towards rebellion, the sooner and more fully becomes our ascent towards holiness. The Holy Spirit, acting in the sacraments of the church, whisks us off to Jesus, who makes our holiness possible. Excuse me. As God graciously reaches into the human condition, so too we want to grasp the hand that reaches out first to us. In the moments when our hearts meet and are joined, joy, peace, and love are indeed enabled. In citing the Levitical passage, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," Jesus repeats again only what the Father says earlier in the law. Jesus enforces that any strategy that would bring us into holiness must pay attention to balance. But first, Jesus expands the description of neighbor to include even one's enemies, family, wife, and husband, maybe next of kin, perhaps a close friend, we can see ourselves loving. But this directive falls over the cliff when we must make room to include even adversaries and people who make life unpleasant. We need, brothers and sisters, in those difficult situations to turn our gaze towards the one who brought us the standard for holiness, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. If difficult to suppose we can be holy, imagine that at our baptism, we are consecrated, anointed, and made temples of the Holy Spirit. Would God dwell anywhere but in a holy place? Believe also, folks, that when we consume the body and blood of Christ, we are truly, in a sense, reposing the Blessed Sacrament into the sacred tabernacles of our body. Through baptism and Holy Eucharist, God most assuredly enables us to be holy and to bring holiness to our world. Each of the sacraments, and in fact, yes, all of them, similarly are touch points where we meet the divine. I think many people struggle with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth teaching. There are some people who use it as a type of mantra. Many see the instruction as a license to exact revenge. Friends, it most assuredly is never justification or a rallying cry for revenge. It is given as acknowledgement that injustice must be corrected and not ignored. When persecution merely exchanges places with the oppressor, well, the teeter-totter only slopes in the other direction. No. This teaching is meant to tell us that no more measures are to be taken than are necessary to return to balance. And this is why state punishment by death is small and wrong, and the church teaches this as well. It is small and wrong because it denies the hope for mercy, and it robs both the individual and the community of this important and God-given commandment. Jesus ratifies into new law that we are to love our enemies. Who, though, is really our enemy? Is it an obsession with power and prestige? Is it a lust for physical gratification? Or is our greatest enemy an addiction to the fickle approval of others? Our enemy, friends, is any gnawing on our hearts and minds that turns us away from God and brings us outside of this commandment that we are to love. The most challenging of our enemies normally resides within. Our Lord teaches that love disarms our enemies. Remember, Christian love, it's not about showering our enemies with affection, and it really is more about healing. Jesus comes to balance and heal the relationship damaged by disobedience to God the Father. And Jesus remains among us, continuing to heal most perfectly in Holy Eucharist. Well, there's a second part to Jesus' instruction that we sometimes overlook. We are also to pray for those who persecute us. Again, this is not a shallow cry for hugs and kisses. And it is perhaps the deeper and more difficult ask that love makes upon us. To pray is to be in relationship. But nature teaches us to flee from or attempt to destroy our enemies. The sacraments of the church and the gospel are again the enablers that overcome unwilling nature. We couldn't, even if we wanted to, destroy nor abandon those to whom we are intrinsically connected, even if it be acrimoniously. The Christian prays for their enemies, and neither do we ask God to do what we ourselves know is unholy. We were not baptized in vinegar, and God doesn't send us enemies. We were baptized in fresh, clean, pure, flowing water. And the Father sends us Jesus. And so, friends, with Lent only a few days away, let us set our sights towards holiness. Let us do that together and in balance. May any and all of our imperfections be transfigured and cast aside this Lent. The gospel of Jesus our Christ and this commandment of love will certainly and most assuredly show us the way. Amen.